Dante paused, his ice-blue eyes growing colder.
She belongs to Luca.
A creeping fear pulsing off the Luciano men filled the air the second he said Luca's name. They had all taken a step away from her, not wanting to be near her. The only ones who hadn't moved were Lucifer and the twins.
No, she's mine,
Lucifer screamed.
Chloe is mine.
A low, lethal voice filled the space, hitting the ears of every living thing in here until their blood ran cold, whispering over and over in all their minds.
Give her to me now, or I will blow his fucking brains out.
He pushed the barrel of the gun against the man's head, while the man kneeled, unmoving.
There's not much of him left. He's better off dead,
Lucifer laughed.
He serves no purpose to me anymore if he can't hold her precious body down. Pop.
Luca pulled the trigger, and the body fell forward to the floor.
Keep them to me,
his eyes told her when she jumped from the noise.
Kill them,
Lucifer demanded. The room went silent. Lucifer's men looked around at each other, trying to decide what to do.
What are you doing? Kill them!
Lucifer crazily screamed again, pulling his hands off of Chloe to back up and look around at his men. When he did, the twins stepped closer to her. Lucifer's son, who stood in the front, hadn't yet moved. He had simply kept his eyes on Dante. But now he finally moved them to Luca's.
She's yours. She's mine,
Luca told him with certainty.
Step aside, Dominic. Let us take those who should be held responsible for their crimes, and no one else will have to die.
Dante paused.
Today, I said kill them.
Lucifer was becoming deranged now. Chloe's chest rose and fell with the force of her breaths, while all the other Lucianos waited to see what Dominic would do. Dominic slowly put down his gun, stepping to the side. The air felt like it had been sucked out of the room. Then they all followed suit, dropping their guns to the floor and stepping to the side. You could practically touch the shift of power from Lucifer to Dominic, from father to son. Now the air that had been sucked from the room returned in a whoosh that felt different. A stunned and crazed Lucifer went for his knife before going straight for Chloe. The twins immediately grabbed him, pulling him back and away from her.
It finally hit Chloe then. They were protecting me this whole time.
Luca took a step forward then, the only one in the room moving as he came toward her. The Carusos followed behind him with every step he took to her. As the boogeyman's blue-green eyes came closer to her, she tried to wiggle out of her bonds, tears falling from her eyes. When he pulled out his knife, she didn't move an inch. Not even her eyes moved from his as he brought it close to her face, cutting the fabric wrapped around her face and head, letting it fall to the ground. Then the boogeyman fell to his knees in front of her, cutting the rope away from her ankles. Her heart was pumping out of her chest, the tears still falling, when he finally and carefully cut away the bloody rope that had bound her wrists together. There was this split second, a moment in time that surely stood still. A moment so powerful it had been stopped by an equally powerful force when the two of them looked into each other's eyes. Only the two knew what was going to happen next, what they were thinking, how they were feeling. It was a power that went beyond this world or any other. When time resumed, Chloe, who would have once run away, terrified of the dangerous being who stood before her, opened her arms and jumped into the embrace of the boogeyman who kneeled before her. It was beautiful.
You saved me,
she began to cry into his chest. I promise to save you, darling. Luca held her to him with a tight force. I will always save you. Picking her up and cradling her, he stood as she held on to him, keeping her eyes closed and her face pressed into his neck as fighting and screaming replaced the beauty of their reunion with horror. She never saw the moment when Sal decided the fate of terrified men by a simple point of his finger. She never saw the real, true heartbreak on Amo's face when he had to watch Luca pass by him, carrying out the girl he loved. She never saw the daunting look Luca had given Amo, promising to make true the threat he had given him. Chloe never saw that the exact moment she had finally been saved was the exact moment Luca had been saved from his own nightmares. Chapter 43. A soul that could only be returned to her by him. Luca carried her up the steps and into the house, passing the doorframe where Drago's blood still stained the floors.
Is he...
Chloe swallowed, unable to say the words. We'll talk about it later, darling. Holding her tighter, he started packing her up the stairs. She slammed her eyes shut, putting her face into the crook of his neck, her legs and arms wrapped tightly around him. Drago had given his life for hers.
Something I will never ever be able to repay.
Reaching the top of the stairs, he smoothed his hand up and down her back, trying to comfort her while he took her into his room, passing through to the bathroom where he placed her on the vanity counter between the two sinks. When he stood between her legs, Chloe kept her eyes on his chest. The softness in him seemed to disappear as he looked over her disheveled body, removing his black suit jacket from her shoulders. Did he hurt you?
No.
She found Luca a little frightening. The darkness in him had yet to be released.
I did that to myself,
she said when he pulled up her sleeves, exposing the raw and broken skin on her wrists. Did he touch you anywhere I need to know about? Luca growled, his possessiveness showing. Knowing what he meant by that, she shook her head, hoping her answer would ease him just a little and shoo away the darkness. However, as she looked down at her lap, she could still feel the trails of fire where the devil had touched her. Luca put a finger under her chin, lifting her head and making her look up at him. What is it?
I still feel him,
she confessed.
All over me.
He turned away from her then, and she didn't know if her confession had broken him or if it had made him more furious. Leaving her on the vanity, he went to the glass shower and turned the water on before he returned right back to her. Then he pulled her off the vanity and to her feet, telling her, You're going to let me help you.
What?
She grew nervous, which made her body shake. She had felt like her frozen skin was finally beginning to warm, only to go back to feeling doused in ice. I will not touch your skin, nor will I join you, even though it kills me not to. There was slight pain in his commanding voice. But you will let me help you undress and dress. I can't leave your side right now, Chloe. I just can't.
I don't want you to leave.
She couldn't take not being with him either, not after what had just happened. Slowly, she nodded her head. When Luca grabbed the hem of her sweater, gently removing it from her body, his eyes went directly to the scars on her arms. Then he gazed over the ones on her stomach he hadn't seen before. Even though she wasn't able to look in his eyes, she could feel how hungry he was. When he went to unsnap the back of her black bra, she became increasingly nervous. The scars on her body weren't her only insecurity. She had grown into her body early, having a womanly figure at a young age that she had never been able to hide.
Her short stature didn't help. It only exaggerated her already overstated hips and breasts. As soon as the bra fell away, she covered her heavy breasts with her arms, becoming embarrassed. Why am I doing this? The old part of her wanted to run, while the new side wouldn't let her. Luca could see her second-guessing and didn't waste any more time. He went to the hem of the black jeans around her hips, removing them and her thin underwear altogether.
Shower, he gruffly ordered.
She ran to the safety of the shower as she held herself, trying not to die of embarrassment. When she closed the shower door behind her, the steamy warmth of the air gave her more privacy. The second the water hit her skin, she felt like she could melt away. It was so warm, heating up her body that had been frozen for hours. Luca hadn't moved an inch from his spot, his eyes never leaving her silhouette behind the glass shower door.
Clean your wrists.
Listening to his command, she held her wrists under the water, watching the blood wash away and how the water turned slightly red before it cleared. Then she picked up the soap bottle and squirted some into her hands, lathering it over her body and trying to be careful not to get it on her sores. Turning around to let the water run down her back and hair, she saw Luca through the glass and froze in place. It was evident through his starving, fully blue eyes that he was in agony. Chloe could see how badly he hated that he had said he wouldn't touch her or join her. It was so bad that it looked like he was about to jump in here at any second. Suddenly, frightened that he would, Chloe quickly tried to finish, putting some shampoo into her hair and rinsing it out. Then she poured just a bit more soap into her hand and scrubbed at her face where Lucifer had touched her the most. Get off, get off, get off.
The feeling of him licking her still lingered. But with each scrub of Luca's soap, the lingering feeling disappeared, replacing the devil's touch with Luca's intoxicating clean mint smell. When she was sure the devil's germs were no longer on her, she turned off the hot water and opened the shower door to grab the towel hanging outside of it. Then she hurriedly wrapped it around her body. Luca still hadn't moved.
Come here, he ordered.
Hugging the towel around her body, she shakily walked back over to him, her chest heavily rising and falling. When he reached out, she didn't know what to expect. All she knew was that she completely and undoubtedly trusted him. Luca picked her up, placing her back on the vanity. Then he started pulling things out from under the sink, getting supplies to bandage her wrists. While he began the process of taking care of her wrists, it was hard for Chloe to look at him. The pain of fighting the darkness back was so visible on him, and by the time he had fully bandaged her up, it was now killing her to see him like this.
I'm sorry, she whispered. I wish I could, but...
I want you so fucking bad, darling.
He leaned down, resting his head on hers as he softened.
But I know you're not ready. I have waited over 8 months for you, and I will wait forever if that's what it takes.
A single tear escaped her eye, feeling his emotions as her own. She wrapped her arms around his neck and moved her head, positioning her face for him to kiss her. Luca looked down at her, wiping away the tear.
I've never seen you cry before today.
Not even when you scream in your sleep.
I haven't. I thought all my tears had dried up.
In reality, they had just needed to be started back up again. They had needed a reason to run. Leaning down closer, he claimed her soft lips with his, taking her in a passionate kiss that was most definitely not like the others. This kiss heated her from the inside, warming her low belly and then down to her femininity when he pulled her closer. Their breathing synced, both of them lost in one another.
Open,
Luca rumbled over her lips when she wasn't getting the hint from his tongue. Parting her lips from the vibration alone, she let his tongue enter her, creating a whole new sensation that she had never experienced before. She felt it hadn't lasted nearly long enough when he pulled his lips away. Moving her damp hair behind her back, he placed light kisses from her jaw down her neck, his tongue picking up the droplets of water as he went. Chloe quietly moaned when he licked at a sensitive part on her neck. She was burning up now. He suddenly stopped and picked her up, holding her by her curvy ass as he carried her into the bedroom before setting her down on the edge of the bed. Different emotions hit her, from confusion to neediness to worry, as she stared up at the dangerous, hungry being. "I have to stop. Otherwise there will be no forever if you need it." He strained to get out. Her eyes grew wide, realizing she had been playing with fire. He then hurriedly went to his drawers, grabbing one of his shirts, then returning in front of her. "Remove your towel," he demanded, staring down at her. Biting her lip, her body obeyed, parting the towel and letting it fall to the bed, giving him a full view of her large breasts. Luca leisurely took his time placing his shirt over her head and down her chest while she raised her arms. His knuckles lightly grazed her peaked nipples so fast she wasn't even sure if they had or not. The hunger was still there, the darkness right under the surface. He was a dangerous man, even more so tonight, yet she still found herself safe in the boogeyman's presence. "He's so beautiful," she thought, looking up at the haunting man who she was seeing dressed in a full suit for the first time. It somehow made him extraordinarily more handsome. It was a dangerous and scary thing for a man with his looks to look like that. "You're staring, darling," he warned her, still trying to calm himself and keep himself from touching her. She blushed, quickly looking away.
I'm sorry. I've just never seen you in a suit before."
"Do you like it?" he asked, placing a hand over her throat to get her to look back at him.
Yes.
She nervously admitted, even though it made him look scarier and more intimidating. "I guess I'll have to wear it more often for you then." That sent another flame of heat to warm her body. Her eyes roved over his cleaned-up appearance, or cleaner, that was. He still had a beard, unlike the rest of the family, and his black-brown hair might have been shorter, mostly on the sides, but it was still just as wild, even when he slicked it back.
"You trimmed your hair and beard, too."
He smiled, his hand still firmly wrapped around her neck. "Do you like that too, darling?" That was hard to decide, since it was more permanent than putting on a suit. He was handsome no matter what length his beard and hair were. It just gave him a different effect.
I like this length just as much as it was before."
She licked her bottom lip, a bit nervous to say the next part.
"You're very handsome either way."
By the wicked smile on his face, she was sure it wasn't anything he didn't know. He placed a quick kiss on her lips before he released her throat to pull down the big comforter. "Get in bed before I change my mind." Backing up from the dangerous being, she hurriedly got under the covers, pulling the thick material around her while she rested back on the bed. It had been a very long, painful day, and it all hit her just how tiring it had been. When he started walking away, she sat up halfway.
Where are you going?
"I'm just going to change. I'm not leaving you, darling." Relaxing back, she watched him go to his dresser again. She wasn't able to look away when he pulled off the black tie, then started unbuttoning his shirt. His dark Italian skin glowed in the dimly lit room, highlighting the muscles all over his body.
Luca had the body type every woman desired and every man dreamed of having. His arms, chest, shoulders, and upper back were the biggest part of him, having a tapered waist that had a strong six-pack. She'd had a hint of what he might look like underneath, just based on his black shirts hugging the top part of him. But never in her wildest dreams had she thought he would have been as perfect as she was seeing now. Everything about him truly put every other man to shame, as his lesser. Luca was born right where he belonged, the king of Kansas City. Turning her head away when he went to remove his pants, she pulled the comforter to her tighter and closed her eyes, trying not to picture the devil's face in her mind. She lay there like that for a few minutes until the bed moved and strong arms pulled her to a hard, warm body. The skin she felt was alarming, making her pull away to see it was his bare chest. Luca held her firmly, bringing her back to him. "I'm not naked, darling, but I'm not going to wear a shirt either." Now that she could feel the thick material covering his bottom half, she eased back into him, yet still stiffly. It was strange to be held, feeling his skin all over her, but it was also strangely nice. Both of their bodies held a cooling, minty scent between them, making her melt into him. She honestly felt she couldn't get enough of that smell. It called to her, soothing her. The longer she lay with him like this, held by him against his chest, the faster the now faint trails of where the devil had touched her began to disappear. The memory, however, remained very much there, sending a shiver coursing through her body.
"Did you know that it was him who killed your mother?"
He rubbed his fingers up and down her back. "Yes, I always had the feeling he had something to do with her death, but I could never prove it."
"I'm sorry."
She pressed closer to him, knowing how Luca felt about his mother, though he never said it.
"I'm sorry you had to wait that long."
His voice went dark. "I got him now, and that's all that matters." Shivering at his words, her hair stood on end, thinking about the devil's wretched fate. It also comforted her to know he wouldn't be able to touch her again. Beginning to fall asleep, the nightmares weren't as harsh while being in his arms, but she could still feel them coming for her, silently tormenting her. Even though the devil's fate was fatal, she just wished her soul would have been set free. Every night for weeks, Luca always had the same nightmare whenever he closed his eyes. Luca could feel it suddenly hit him. It was like a change in the direction of wind, the feeling of dread that something terrible was about to take place. His eyes went to her, knowing she felt it too. The look of pure terror upon Chloe's face when the gunshots rang out through the mall would haunt him until the day he died. He was so close, yet so far away from her again. The people running at him wouldn't let him push through to get to her. No matter how hard he tried to fight through the wave of what felt like thousands of people, he was still only one man. She wasn't moving. She needed to move.
"Chloe!"
He singled out Amos' voice through the chaos. He and Amo stood at equal distances apart, at equal distances away from her. The three made a triangle, with her being at the top. He fought harder against the wave as he watched her take a small step toward Amo. He needed her to move faster, and to him, knowing he would take the bullet for her if it came to that.
"Chloe, move!"
When she took a step again, this time toward him, his heart thudded in his chest, feeling like it was synced with hers. "That's it, baby. Come to me."
"This way, Chloe!"
Amo's voice cut through again.
"No. To me, Chloe."
He needed her. She needed him. He had to hold her. He had to save her. He had dreamt of this moment for months. If he saw her walk away with Amo yet again, he didn't know if he would be able to handle it, not for a second time. Luca could see the indecision on her face, the choice before her. It frightened him to his core, the thought that she would choose Amo, knowing it would be the wrong one. His and Chloe's souls were tethered together, twirling into one. He just hoped she could feel it.
Come to me and let me save you. I love you, Chloe.
When he watched her move toward him, he could have cried. She felt it. Then he watched something change as she stared into his eyes. Fear. Fear of him. He felt himself beginning to lose her when she looked back at Amo. It was like time had unfrozen while he watched in slow motion as she ran to the one she had chosen. There was no heartbreak in this world that compared to his when she jumped into another man's arms. One who didn't belong with her. One who could never possibly love her the way he did. One who would never ever truly save her. Because he didn't even know her soul no longer belonged to her. A soul that could only be returned to her by him. Holding her now, he could close his eyes without the nightmares, knowing she had finally picked him. Knowing that her soul was finally in his possession. He just had to wait until she was ready. Until she was ready to fully accept what she had always been meant to be. His. Chapter 44. As ye sow, so shall ye reap.
Put the cigarette out, Luca, Dante ordered, annoyed by the smell.
They had been discussing the Luciano family's fate, and he was already furious enough as it was. Luca flicked the ashes off his cigarette, ignoring the order. Dante's jaw flexed as he waved his hand in front of his face to get the smoke to dissipate. A brief knock on the door interrupted the staring contest between the two men. The consigliere had arrived. Vinny waited until the door closed behind him to say,
"The Lucianos have requested a meeting."
Dante took a swig of his glass, his attitude unforgiving. The consigliere knew his boss too well.
"I think we should listen to what they have to say. If war is inevitable, then so be it. But if it can be averted by the Lucianos making amends, should we not at least listen to their offer?"
"No."
His father's pitiless gaze moved to Luca's.
"If she hadn't been there, I would have fucking lit that place up."
"You mean if I didn't care about her?"
Taking a bigger hit, he blew the puff of smoke in his father's direction.
"We might win the war, but there will be costs. Make sure you are willing to pay that price, Dante,"
Vinny told him with finality. Luca put his cigarette out in the ashtray.
"I say we hear what they have to say."
After a few moments and a few sips later, Dante abruptly nodded his head. Vinny opened the door, letting the three Lucianos enter. At least they were smart enough to keep their eyes down and respectfully bowed their heads to his father, while Dante's ice-cold eyes pierced each one of their souls.
"Mr. Caruso, we are here to beg for your forgiveness."
Dominic took a step toward the desk, looking more disheveled than usual, which wasn't saying much. His brown hair was messed up as if he had been running his fingers through it repeatedly. His dark beard that usually successfully disguised his sinister expression only accented it, and his tattoos under his V-neck muscle shirt showed starkly against his olive complexion. All three of the men appeared as if they hadn't slept. Angel and Matthias's hands were in their jacket pockets, both wearing stony expressions. Luca knew their pride was suffering from having to listen to Dominic come to beg Dante for their lives.
Why should I give it? Your father broke the contract to keep the peace between our families.
Dante slammed his fist down on his desk, causing the cigarette's ashes from the ashtray to fly up into the air.
He murdered my wife.
Dominic now looked into the cold eyes. We had no knowledge.
I don't give a fuck.
Dante cut him off.
Lucifer and his men also broke into my home, took something that belonged to the Carusos, and almost killed one of my best men, who is still fighting for his life. Your father wouldn't have given the same consideration to my sons, to my family.
The ferocity in his depths grew, along with the disgust on his face.
He didn't even care if Sal would die trying to defend me. A son he didn't want to claim because of the embarrassment of fucking a drugged-out whore, even though the Luciano family name was becoming extinct. But why am I not surprised? If he didn't care Sal was starving on the streets when he was a kid, why would he give a fuck when Sal was grown?
Sitting there quietly, Luca took out his lighter and began flicking it open and closed. They were to never speak about Lucifer being Sal's biological father, not even Sal himself. He had only ever heard Dante talk about it once. My father regretted his decision not to claim Sal, but it was too late. You had already taken him in. Angel, Matthias, and I never agreed with our father's decision not to claim Sal as his son. We are only soldiers, trained to obey his orders. Lucifer ensured loyalty through fear. You ensure loyalty through respect. Sal was better off on the streets than being under our father's thumb. Dante sat back in his chair, his ears seemingly attempting to listen.
As you and your brothers were.
Yes. Lucifer wasn't an easy man to live with, let alone have as a father. Dominic's grim face showed that this wasn't the first time he had begged for his and his brother's lives.
Are you trying to gain my sympathy? The Lucianos have been shown mercy once already by not having their name wiped out. Your father was left alive to continue the name, and he has betrayed the Caruso family, not once, but twice.
Dominic shook his head. We aren't in a war. Wars have two sides.
You telling me the Lucianos won't avenge Lucifer and his men?
Dominic gave a sarcastic, almost demonic laugh.
Avenge them? You did us a favor.
Luca stared down at his Zippo.
If you wanted your father dead, why didn't you take him out yourselves?
Lucifer knew I hated him. I wanted him dead, but not at the cost of one of my brother's lives. He was careful to always keep one of the twins next to someone he trusted, someone who wouldn't hesitate to put a bullet in their head.
He didn't trust you.
Luca looked into Dominic's eyes to see if he was lying.
No. Lucifer didn't trust any of his sons. He used the Luciano name to butcher and destroy anyone who was in his way, even at the expense of his own family. You weren't the only one killing the Lucianos off. No one was safe from him. He wasn't the best choice to lead our family. What few of us are left only want peace and to rebuild our name.
Vinny moved from the side of Dante's desk to stand in front, the consigliere taking over the conversation. And which Luciano has been chosen to lead? Dominic's gaze didn't waver.
Me.
Vinny and Dante shared a long glance, but it was Vinny who said,
You may carry the name, but will they accept you?
They already have.
Dominic stared back at the two older men arrogantly.
They'll follow me. I'll make sure of it.
How do you propose to alleviate Dante's anger?
Vinny asked.
The Lucianos will give up another fourth of our profits until you see fit to go back to the original contract agreed upon.
Vinny didn't turn to Dante to see if he agreed.
He knew, as well as Luca did, that the ridiculous offer wouldn't deter his father's anger.
Half. Vinny increased Dominic's offer to one that would hurt.
Dominic sharply nodded his head, his quick response showing he had expected his lowball offer to be refused. Vinny hadn't become Dante's consigliere by being an idiot. His sharp gaze watched Dominic's expression as he dropped the next bombshell. The Luciano men need help rebuilding their bloodlines. The Italian blood running through your blood is weak and diluted, Vinny spat out, his voice hitting the three like a whip with the insult. A woman from the Luciano family who is at a marriageable consent will be chosen to wed one of the Carusos. Luca evilly grinned as he rolled his Zippo through his fingers. The show he had expected from Vinny was much more pleasing than he had originally thought. Dominic clearly hadn't planned on that, and Angel and Matthias weren't able to hide their own horrified expressions.
Which one of the women do you want? Which Caruso would she be expected to marry? Dominic grated out.
Vinny shrugged. Both will be up for Dante and I to decide. Whoever we choose from the Carusos will be able to see that the Luciano will live up to the contract this time. Trust will be earned, one child at a time, as the Carusos' blood mingles with the Luciano's. Maybe by the time we have four or five Carusos born, Dante will feel more forgiving. A child can heal a lot of wounds.
Dominic wasn't as quick to agree to the second term when he nodded his head.
Are we done?
Not quite.
Vinny smiled. What they had thought was hard before wasn't going to compare to this. Until Dante can find it in his heart to find forgiveness, one of the twins will be our insurance. If any part of the contract isn't enforced, one of your brothers will pay the price.
It just keeps getting better.
The twins looked at each other. Neither brother wanted the other chosen. Angel stepped forward.
I'll stay.
Matthias moved to stand beside Dominic.
No, I will.
Both of them were trying to protect the other. Luca guessed it wasn't the first time. He studied the men. Opening his mouth, a name was coming to his lips when Vinny spoke before he could.
Angel.
Luca took out one of his cigarettes from his pack. It was a no-brainer for Vinny to choose Angel. None of the Lucianos would ever be considered classy, but the twins looked like thugs. The number of tattoos and overblown muscles were more suited to the riffraff found in the dark alleyways of the old city of their heritage. The identical twins were mirror images. From what Luca knew, everyone in the Lucianos joked that the only way to tell them apart was to stare at the images of their tattoos. The twins shared the same exact tattoos, even going so far as placing them in the same exact part of their bodies. The difference was, Angel's tattoos were the mirror image of Matthias's. Luca understood what Vinny didn't. Angel was the twisted image of Matthias. Luca debated challenging Vinny's choice. Instead, he decided to keep quiet. He wasn't fooled by the attempts of the Lucianos to save their lives. They reminded him of a rabid dog that was just waiting for the right time to attack, ripping off the hand that fed them. Dominic shook his head. Matthias would be the better choice. I wouldn't do anything that would jeopardize either of my brothers' lives.
That, Luca believed.
Vinny raised his hand, stopping Dominic. Angel is the younger one. The Lucianos have taken a protective attitude toward him.
Luca lit his cigarette to keep from laughing.
Angel was lazy. He let everyone do his dirty work for him. Matthias would break bones if the gangbangers and drug dealers didn't pay for their protection. If breaking bones didn't work, That was when Angel would be sent in. When he was finished, the protection was paid for with interest. Luca had a better chance of controlling Angel than his own family did. He didn't want Angel to do anything to break the fragile peace that was being given to them. Luca remained silent, feeling a flash of respect for Dominic. The new boss of the Lucianos wanted a true peace for the first time in decades. Luca met Dominic's gaze. I supervise the men. I'll find the perfect place for him. Everyone in the room could see them size each other up as Luca silently told him he wasn't fooled by Angel. It was a strange thing, but for once, Luca actually wanted peace between the two families. After his mother had been killed, he hadn't given two shits if they were in a war. He had begged for it to exact revenge. Chloe had changed that, however. He wanted peace to keep her safe. It had taken years to fully understand the enormous responsibility his father held. Dominic turned back to Vinny.
So? We good?
Dante?
His father's expression was torn. Luca looked down at the glowing tip of his cigarette. He wanted peace for Chloe's sake, but it was Dante's wife they had killed.
Dante, Vinny repeated sadly, whatever you do will not bring Melissa back. If the Lucianos redeem themselves, then what have you lost? You already lost what was most important to you. A child born with Caruso and Luciano blood could accomplish what generations have tried to do. Bring true peace.
Dante held out his hand to Dominic then, and the younger man took his hand in his firmly, agreeing to the terms. A threat came to Dante's eyes and voice when he warned,
"Don't you fucking disappoint me."
Luca inhaled deeply, letting the end of his cigarette burn bright red. He remembered an old Italian proverb Dante had drilled into his head when he was younger.
Come semini, così raccogli. As ye sow, so shall ye reap.
Chapter 45. Not even in death. Chloe had stayed at the house with Luca for a week, not leaving, giving herself time to heal and for Luca to make sure all threats were gone. It was weird to think of the future, something she had pushed out of her mind for the past week, unsure of where exactly she belonged anymore. Ever since her scars, she had no longer felt she belonged in this city because it had betrayed her. But she no longer felt she could belong anywhere without Luca, and Luca did belong in Kansas City. She once thought she always belonged beside her best friend Elle, but it had been unrealistic for her to think it would last past college. Now Elle had found her place in the city beside Nero. The future was a scary, dark thing, especially when she felt the bond between her and Luca so strongly and so soon. It scared the shit out of her, to be honest. On one hand, she loved being protected by him, and the power he held made her feel as if she could never be hurt and always be saved. And yet, the little girl in her still believed it was too good to be true. That Luca might get sick of her and toss her aside, just like her parents had. So, when Luca had asked her to pack her bags, a creeping fear had snuck in that it was already that time. Then he had brought her to the casino hotel, carrying her bags up to the top floor and heading down toward Nero and Elle's place. Even though she was excited to see her best friend for the first time in a long time, she was also scared that Luca was leaving her, dropping her off to become Elle's problem until she could go to Stanford. For real, this time. Getting to almost the end of the hall, Nero's door flew open and Elle ran out. Then she froze in place the second she saw Chloe, who was just as frozen. A furious Nero came out of the door a moment later. Luca, I tried to-
He stopped when Luca raised his hand behind Chloe, stopping him. That was when Nero finally noticed the girls hadn't yet moved. Not until Chloe saw Elle's face had she realized just exactly how much she had missed her. Then Chloe was the one to take the first step toward her, opening her arms when Elle closed the distance between them. They held each other tightly for a few minutes, their eyes becoming teary.
"I've missed you so much," Elle cried. "I haven't even been able to watch a movie without crying, wishing you were here."
Chloe giggled through her own cries.
"I've missed you so much, too."
She had been sure Elle would probably hate her guts for lying to her for over a month.
I'm sorry I didn't tell.
Elle quickly pulled away from her then, going right up to Luca's face and shoving him right in the chest as hard as she could.
"What the?
I told you that you couldn't have her."
Elle pushed him harder this time. Luca didn't budge.
"What the fuck?"
Nero yelled, running to get her away from him. Luca held his hand up, stopping him again.
"I told you that if you hurt her, I will kill you."
Elle hit his unresponsive chest again. Chloe's mouth dropped to the floor. Luca stood there, taking the hits.
"I promise you that if I do, I'll let you."
Elle, who was mid-hit, stopped, shocked by the answer.
"Really?"
Luca nodded. "Yes." What Chloe saw next shocked her even more, while it also warmed her heart. Elle wrapped her arms around Luca, hugging him.
"Thank you for saving her."
"You're welcome, Elle."
He accepted her hug, patting her on the back.
"Aw."
Chloe felt herself getting emotional again.
"I still don't like you."
Elle composed herself, going back to pushing him.
"You're not good enough for her. She deserves a nice boy. I know why you're so secretive at your place. All you do is fuck."
Luca reached out, grabbing her and covering her mouth with his hand.
"Okay, you can fucking get her away from me now," he growled at Nero.
Nero, completely stunned, hurriedly went for Elle.
What did she just say?
Chloe bit her lip. Elle managed to get her mouth free when they transferred her.
"Women, probably hundred—"
Nero slammed his hand over her mouth.
"I'm sorry, Luca. I'll get her under control."
"Ow!"
He jerked his hand from her mouth when she bit him.
"No, you will not. I'm still mad at you for knowing she was with Luca this whole time."
Chloe could see by Luca's face he hadn't even known Nero had known. He then pulled Chloe to the door opposite of Nero and Elle's and started unlocking it.
"Is this your place? Where she said you fa?"
She couldn't even think clearly.
"Yep," he answered the door, covered in sweat with no shirt on. "Me and Lake think he has a sex dungeon."
"Shut her the fuck up before I do it my fucking self,"
Luca yelled over his shoulder while trying to hurry up and unlock all his bolts.
"I'm trying, but she's fucking slippery."
Nero tried to push a fighting Elle back into his place.
Is all that true?
Chloe started wringing her hands.
"A sex dungeon?"
"She's just assuming, darling,"
he assured her as he started pushing her quickly inside along with her things.
"When she needs to look at who she's with."
"Fuck it."
Nero quit worrying about Elle's mouth and just picked her up over his shoulder.
"Don't let him call you that. He calls every girl darling. You gotta nip it in the bud like I did with Nero when he called me babe."
Both doors slammed at the same time. She wasn't even able to look up at him, not knowing what to think. Luca's ferocity simmered out at seeing Chloe's nerves, and he gently took her hand in his.
"Come with me."
Following him, she looked around the space, noticing it was laid out just like Nero's, but mirrored. The styles, however, were completely different. Luca's had earth tones of dark wood and greens, just like in his room at the house. It was modern, but not too modern, more traditional than the other penthouses she had seen.
It was cozy, warm, and perfect, reminding her of the outdoors that perfectly sat in downtown Kansas City. With it being a corner penthouse, it had floor-to-ceiling windows on two of the walls, really giving juxtaposition on the outdoors and the city. A slight pain reached her heart, thinking about what Elle had said. It was hard to imagine Luca in here with many women. Pulling her close, he wrapped his arms around her, holding her tightly. "I'm not going to pretend I'm a virgin when we both know I'm not."
I know.
She pressed her face into his chest, not wanting him to see the hurt on her face. She knew he was far from a virgin, but it had stung to hear how he brought many other women here when this was her first time coming here. Admittedly, it hurt to even think about Luca with a woman. He leaned his head down, nestling into her neck.
"But I can promise you, you're the first and last woman I have or ever will bring here."
Moving her head, she wanted to look into his eyes, almost not believing it.
"I've had this place for a long time now. I don't like letting anyone in here because it's my own personal space and a place for me to think. The only one to come in here other than me is Sal on occasion."
Chloe smiled, pressing her face back into his chest. For once in her life, she felt important. She took it as an honor for a man like Luca to trust her in a space so special to him.
"Now, is there anything else that upset you?"
he asked teasingly, bending down to bite her earlobe. Biting her lip, she didn't know how to come out and say it, but,
I like it when you call me darling, but..."
"You don't want me calling anyone else that,"
Luca finished for her, smiling. She nodded as she blushed from confessing how the darling thing worked on her, so much so she didn't want him to stop calling her that. He took another bite of her earlobe.
"Then I won't, darling."
Leaning up, she gave him a quick kiss on the lips, wanting him to know how happy he made her. When she dropped back to her feet, she couldn't help laughing.
"So, what were you doing to get all sweaty?"
"I'll show you."
Luca took her hand again, leading her through his penthouse and going up the stairs that led off into the master bedroom. She could see a spiral staircase that hadn't been in Nero's, which he led her to, allowing her to head up first. With each step, she became more confused.
"How can it go anywhere? This is the top floor."
"You'll see."
He helped her push up the top hatch in the ceiling. Chloe looked down at her feet as she watched her step, finishing the climb up. Then the slight noise of the city greeted her ears, making her finally look up. When she did, she almost fell back on Luca, the beauty taking her breath away. He was silent, holding her up in front of him and keeping her steady as she took it all in.
"Is this real?"
she whispered, blinking to see if it was heaven or just a mirage.
"Yes, darling."
Taking a step forward and spinning around, her eyes moved over the flowers, then to the glass walls where she could see the city all around. It was a little greenhouse filled with many flowers on top of the building. The breathtaking view was unlike anything she had ever seen. It took her a few minutes of looking around before she turned to look into his eyes.
"You did this?"
Luca's eyes were now a fully bright shade of green.
"For you, yes."
Another slight pain reached her heart, except this one was different. When she turned back to him, it was like the wind had been knocked out of her to stare at someone like him, surrounded by something like this.
"It's so beautiful," she whispered.
Walking toward her, he wrapped his strong arms around her again.
"I started working on it months ago, to keep myself busy so I wouldn't come for you. I haven't been with a single woman since I first saw you. I couldn't. None of them were you.
Every time I wanted you so fucking bad, I would come here to keep myself sane. The pain in her chest only grew stronger, consuming her whole heart. The heavy old chains on her soul were beginning to rattle.
I didn't think I would ever be capable of love. Until you.
He lightly tugged her hair down, forcing her to look into his eyes.
I love you, Chloe. You're the only person I've loved, or ever will love.
The chains broke free, her soul feeling freedom for the first time in 4 years. Freedom that only lasted a second before it was claimed again as lighter, tighter chains took hold, claiming her as his. These chains might hold her captive, but they were ones she could live with. Chains that didn't weigh heavily on her body, mind, or soul. Chains that were more permanent. Chains that could never be broken. Not even in death. I am yours forever.
Chapter 46. A Taste of You is Worth a Lifetime in Hell.
I thought you brought me here to have me stay with Elle,
Chloe admitted nervously as Luca helped her down the last step of the winding staircase after spending hours in the greenhouse. Luca lost his smile at her words, stopping to stare down at her bowed head.
Chloe, look at me.
She made herself look up, seeing mixed emotions on his face.
I once promised you that when the semester was over, I would let you leave. You don't have to be afraid of Lucifer ever again. You don't have to be afraid of anyone anymore.
He ran a tender finger down her cheek, watching her lip tremble at the love glowing in his eyes, making them look greener than she had ever seen them before.
I can't keep that promise, though. I can't let you leave and walk out that door, because now I know what it's like to have you.
I don't want you to let me leave,
she breathed helplessly.
Ever. I gave myself over to you. I said the words.
Luca raised his hand to her throat, his eyes now turning back to blue-green.
Say the words, darling.
Her chest rose and fell with a force, knowing exactly what she was about to do. Setting her fate in stone, she said,
I am yours. Forever.
He squeezed her delicate throat under his grasp a little tighter.
Again.
She looked at the frightening being, unafraid, her heart swelling.
I am yours forever.
His eyes flashed blue for a split second before he lifted her up and carried her to his bed, where he was going to prove he owned her body the way she had always known he had. Chloe buried her head in his shoulder, nervously imagining the things he was going to do to her. Shockingly, she didn't feel any of the fear she had always expected. Instead, she was more nervous that she would disappoint him. He had waited months for her, for this moment.
You won't be disappointed if I get it wrong the first time? I mean, you've been with a lot of women.
Darling.
Luca set her down on the bed, then started tearing his clothes off.
That would be fucking impossible.
She wanted to look away when he unzipped his pants, but she couldn't. His arousal was so evident, her body wouldn't allow her to. It wanted to see all of him. When his long, thick length was set free, she didn't know